Well, today's a day like no other. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. Hope you're having a great day. I'm so glad that you're tuning into the broadcast today. This is a new week, and this is a new opportunity for us to once again look in God's Word. And as you know, on our Monday broadcast, I always spend a few minutes kind of recapping what happened at Hickory Ridge Community Church over the weekend. And I'd love to have you come check us out. We are at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. That's the Hickory Ridge Community Church. Come on and join us at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock on Sundays. We'd love to have you come worship with us. And I know we're a little bit of drive out there for most of our listeners. We're way out in the country in the Hickory section of Chesapeake. But we would love to have you come check us out and spend a few moments with us as we worship together. Well, on Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of James. And I'm calling this whole series of James, How Can I Profit from My Problems? And we're calling it Functional Wisdom in This Dysfunctional World. And I want to spend just a minute by giving you some introduction to the book of James, just in case you didn't catch the broadcast where we talked about the background of the book of James. And James, as you probably know, as is given by the name of the book, was written by James. And he just introduces himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how he introduces himself. He doesn't use any really flowery language. He says, I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I am. Well, he was much more than that, but that's how he introduced himself. He was actually the stepbrother of Jesus. And as Jesus was here on the earth, James, for the most part, and his brothers and sisters did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. James, however, had an encounter with Christ after he rose again from the dead. In our broadcast last week, we talked about the fact that James came to a saving knowledge of Christ, and Paul records the fact that Jesus actually appeared specifically and personally to James after he rose again from the dead. Isn't that amazing? And so his life was radically changed when he saw the light. And if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be your day of salvation. You know, you think about what Christ can do for a person, and as I lead the guys in the prison, there's a song that they sing sometimes, and I don't know the lyrics for all of the song, but it basically says, ain't nobody love me like Jesus. And I have found that to be so true in my life. Nobody loves me quite the way that Jesus does. He has that unconditional love, and I don't know about you, but I find that he is so very patient with me. And I have discovered that I need a whole lot of patience. And sometimes we say people in our lives, we call them EGR people. EGR people are those extra grace required people. And I know that I'm kind of that person, right? I'm kind of that person that needs extra grace, extra love. And I just kind of sometimes do stupid things. And so I think we all kind of have that problem. But I'm so glad that I have a Savior that loves me unconditionally. So James introduced himself as a servant of God, and then he says that he's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered among the nations, and he says, greetings. And then he uses in that second verse some unusual phraseology for the beginning of an epistle. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you fall or face many kinds of trouble or trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all and without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must ask in faith, believing, not doubting, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown, tossed, and fro. Do not let that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord, because he's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. So James is beginning his wisdom book of literature, saying to the church at Jerusalem, saying to his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have been scattered because of persecution, he says, I want you to consider it pure joy. Now, I find this amazing that he gives his qualifier. He doesn't say just consider it joy. He says, consider it pure joy. In other words, this is going to be real joy, not fake joy. It's not one of these things where you can say, well, just fake it till you make it, and you'll feel joyful. No, James is saying you've got to have pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And so we've got to be anticipating the fact that trials are going to come our way. You know, that's one thing that you can count on in life, that trials are going to come your way. Roger Staubach said this, "Spectacular achievements come from unspectacular preparation." The problem with unspectacular preparation is that nobody seems to see the preparation that you put in ahead of time before you do something successful. You think about anybody who has really done well in their career, whether it be sports, whether it be in the music industry, whether it be in the business world, doesn't really matter. Those who succeed well are doing a lot of behind-the-scenes preparation where nobody's looking and nobody knows they're getting up early in the morning to practice. Nobody knows they're staying up late at night to study. They're just going the extra mile because they have a passion for what they're doing. So I want you to look at that from that angle during this broadcast. When you're going through some problems, I want you to realize that now is the time to prepare for those trials. Because James begins by telling us that we should consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. So I want to encourage you to be positive when you're under pressure. And one of the marks of a mature person is that they know how to be positive even, and I may even say, especially while they're under pressure. Why should I lighten up about my problems, you may be asking? I mean, James gives us this command to consider it pure joy because you know certain things are going to come. So you may as well go ahead and prepare for them. Now, James is not the only New Testament writer to actually talk about being prepared for problems and considering problems something that we should actually have joy in the midst of. And I'm not saying that we're to be joyful about the problem, but we're to be joyful in the problem. Peter kind of says the same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, Peter says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ to God's elect, and he calls them strangers in this world. You know, I've had the privilege of going on many missions trips, and I really enjoy taking missions trips. I love to go to a foreign country, taste different kind of food. I experience a different kind of culture. But you know, I always look forward to coming home. I enjoy going, but I really enjoy getting home. Because there's no place like home. Peter is saying to those that he is writing to that they are strangers in this world. All of us as believers are really strangers in this world. We are sojourners. He says that they're scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. But he says that they have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That is an interesting phrase there, that we have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have put your faith and trust in him, do you realize that God chose you? He foreknew you before the foundations of the world. He actually began a sanctifying work in you even before you were born. And he began that process so that you could learn obedience to Jesus Christ. That process was actually started before you were born again. Peter goes on to explain that Jesus does this by the sprinkling of his own blood. And he says, "Grace and peace are given to us in abundance." Verse number 3 of 1 Peter 1, he says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now get what he's saying here. We are saved because of God's great mercy, and we are given a living hope provided by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've also been given an inheritance that is an inheritance that will never perish, never spoil, or fade. It is kept for us right now in heaven. We learn that it is through faith that we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the day of our salvation. So Peter is driving home the point that God has elected us before the foundations of the world, and he's also keeping an inheritance for us up in heaven. And he's also putting a hedge of protection around our salvation. Now, this is some really good information to know because if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have this hedge of protection that is around you. In other words, you are invincible until God has allowed you to fulfill the purpose that he has in your life. We learn also from this passage in verse number 6 that we can greatly rejoice. I mean, knowing the fact that we are foreknown by God, that we are sealed and we are protected, we understand that we are safe and we should be joyful in our times of trials because trials teach us many things. We learn from verse number 7 of 1 Peter that they are teaching us about the genuineness of our faith. In other words, the more pressure that is placed on us, the stronger our faith becomes. Now, we know this from bodybuilding, and I've hung around a lot of guys who are bodybuilders, and I've never been really much into bodybuilding, and I always kid around and I tell people, you know, my chest is dropped into my drawers, and I got that middle-aged belly, and I realize that my days of powerlifting and bodybuilding are really over. You know, I've given up on that goal, right, to be Mr. Charles Atlas. But as you think about our faith, when you're doing bodybuilding, you know that phrase, no pain, no gain. The same is true about our faith. If there's never pressure put on us, how do we know how strong our faith is? And so we learn from this passage that our faith is of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though it is refined by fire. We have this illustration here that our faith is tested like gold or silver, and when the heat is put on gold or silver, the dross rises to the top, and then they just scrape off that dross. When it comes to our faith, the same thing happens. As the pressure is put upon us, that dross comes to the surface, and we just wipe it off. It makes us more pure. It makes our faith more pure. Peter continues saying that though you have not seen him, talking about Christ, you still love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So let's talk about why problems should be really embraced, because they do some things in our lives. But before we get into that, let's talk about some information about problems. These are things that you probably know that maybe you haven't thought about recently. Number one, James tells us that problems are unavoidable. He says, whenever you face trials, and we're going back to James chapter 1, you know this is true, things constantly get broken, and they break often. Trials are unavoidable. They're going to happen in your life. James tells us, secondly, that problems are also, not only are they unavoidable, but they're unpredictable and they're unexpected. He says, whenever you face trials, he doesn't say if you face trials, but when you face trials. He actually uses an interesting word. The Greek word is peripeto, which is the word that we get the word perpetual, right? A perpetual pain in the neck or a perpetual dropping of rain. Problems are perpetual, they're ongoing, you're going to fall into them occasionally. You can't help but have that happen. You don't expect it, but it's going to happen. He is warning us that they're going to happen, but they're not a waste of time. Even though problems are unpredictable, God has a purpose for those problems. You know, one of my favorite movies is a movie done by Dick Van Dyke, I think way back, maybe in the 60s or early 70s, and it's called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That show used to come on every Thanksgiving or every Christmas, and my family would make a habit of watching that show. Well, one of the scenes that I love in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is where the grandfather is actually kidnapped, and the reason he's kidnapped is because he has persuaded some people that he is the brains behind the operation of the creation of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. In reality, it was his son, played by Dick Van Dyke, but they thought it was the grandfather, so they kidnap him, and they take him off into a foreign land. They put him into a shop and they give him an old beat-up car. And they said, now turn this car into that flying machine. Well, he can't do it. It's beyond his ability. And so he's given some mechanics and he's given some help. And he tries to put it together, but he's a dismal failure. And so as they go out to start the car, all of a sudden the car blows up, the tires falls out, and it falls on its chassis and all this smoke comes up from underneath the car. And they begin singing in a song, from the ashes of disaster grow the roses of success. You know, the disaster in your life, God wants to take that and he wants to turn it into success. You may look at it as a major setback, a major failure in your life. And God is saying, listen, I want to take those ashes of disaster and I want it to grow success in your life. Well, here's a third thing that we can learn about problems, and that is, problems are unlimited. We could say that they're multifaceted or they're multicolored. James says they're trials of many kinds. As somebody once said, into every life a little rain must fall. But you know, I think that's ridiculous because it seems like there's a lot of rain, a lot of problems coming into our lives. But here's the fourth thing that we must remember about problems. And this is a not. Problems are not unproductive. James says, realize that they come to produce in you. God is working out problems in you to produce something in you. C.S. Lewis says this, where we find difficulty, we may always expect that a discovery awaits us. So when there's a difficulty in your life, God wants you to discover something. Now, I know we're on radio, but when I gave this message at my church, I had on the PowerPoint slide a clock, and over the clock was a sticky note that said, time is passing, are you? And the backdrop of this sign was reminding students, you know, when you're taking an exam, for example, it can be very frustrating. And I don't know if you had this trouble or not, but I have this thing called exam anxiety. I can study and study and study for something, and then I get all nervous about it, and my mind goes blank. I used to have the same problem when it came to public speaking. I remember I gave my first sermon when I was a teenager. And as a teenager, I was so nervous about speaking in front of everybody. I worked for hours and hours and hours putting together that sermon. And I wrote everything out that I was going to say. I had everything written. As a matter of fact, I went back. I actually typed up everything I was going to say. And back as a teenager, I was a very poor typist. And so I was like pecking one finger at a time. And I remember it came to be that time for me to give my message. And it was on New Year's Eve. And the pastor of that church on New Year's Eve, he would have all the young people, the young pastors who felt God calling them into ministry, he would give them an opportunity to preach. Well, here I am as a teenager. This is my first opportunity to preach, and I am nervous. I mean, I am nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof in the middle of July. I mean, I am so nervous, I'm beside myself. Well, I get up ready to give my message, and my brother, who's 11 months younger than me, he decided it'd be real funny to take my notes. So he stole my notes. And so I got up there in front of everybody without any notes, nervous as can be. And I remember my mind went blank, my mouth went dry. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I didn't know how to start the message. I didn't know how to end the message. And for a couple minutes, I kind of just went all over the place. And finally, I just threw my hands up in the air and I said, that's all I got. And I sat down. I was so embarrassed. I was just so dejected. And I just could not believe how bad I felt, filled with embarrassment. Well, you think about testing. Oftentimes, God allows testing in our lives so that we get to the end of ourselves. At that moment, I realized that if I was going to do anything for the cause of Christ, it was going to have to be Christ doing it in me and through me. I decided that I had to start looking up because things looking within me weren't getting me very far. So I would encourage you, when problems come your way, and they're going to come your way, remain positive under pressure, because pressure produces patience, and patience produces endurance. That ability to stay under pressure is called perseverance. That word perseverance is an interesting word. It's one of those English words that actually sounds like what it means. Persevere. Hang in there, right? Dogged determination. I'm not going to quit. That's what we need when problems come our way, because this is what problems do to us. James reminds us, first of all, that problems purify our faith. James says, you know that the testing of your faith produces something. You see, grace is given to us. I talked about the dross being burned off just a few minutes ago, and that's actually a biblical illustration in Malachi 3:3. Malachi 3:3 says that he will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and like silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. In other words, God was allowing that dross to be burned away in the lives of the Levites, so that when they offered praises unto the Lord, when they offered sacrifices unto the Lord, they would be accepted. You know, Paul said to young Timothy that there's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor. God can use a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor, but I've discovered that those who are most powerfully used by God are always those who are vessels of honor. The dross has been burned away. They are pure. They are the real McCoy. When pressure comes their way, they've learned to purify their faith. Well, here's the second thing that we learn about problems. Problems also fortify my patience. It says that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, which is patience, that ability to hang on. I can't remember what insurance company is, but they always say on the TV commercials, we know a thing or two because we've been through a thing or two. And as you think about developing patience, when you go through some trials, you learn a thing or two about trials. You learn to be patient. You learn to persevere. Well, here's the third thing that problems do to us. Problems also produce and sanctify my character. You see, God is much more interested in my character than in my comfort. I know that we're very interested in being comfortable. I think that's one of the idols that we have in America, the idol of comfort. We want to be comfortable all the time. We don't want to be too hot. We don't want to be too cold. We don't want to have too much pressure on us. We want to make sure that we're not strapped financially. We want to make sure that we have enough to eat. We want to make sure they have a good job. We want to make sure we have some money in the bank. We want to be comfortable. We don't like to be uncomfortable. But problems actually is what causes us to have our character developed. James says that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if you have children, I hope that one of the things you will teach your children as they're growing up, that number one, life is not fair. And the sooner you learn that, the better off you're going to be. Because if you are thinking that life is always going to be fair to you, you're going to be greatly frustrated. Your comfort zone is always going to be interrupted, and you can realize that life is not fair. And the reason life is not fair is because we're all sinners. You know, sin is one of those things that causes this fairness to go out the window. But I also want you to think about the fact that God is not fair, but God is just. That's right. He's not fair, but he's just. You see, if God was a fair God, none of us, not one of us, would receive salvation. But because God is just, he provided a way for us to have salvation because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not a fair thing that God did to Jesus, but it was a just thing that God did in paying for the penalty of our sins. You see, God's number one priority in your life is to make you more like Jesus. That's what he wants to do. And he knows that sometimes problems are going to come our way in order to help us to be more like Jesus. Well, as we continue through this interesting book of James, we discover that there is a way to live out your problems. And as we get to the end of the broadcast, I want to give you three things that will help you to live out your problems. Number one, just rejoice. James says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. If your first reaction is, oh man, I can't believe this has happened to me. Why in the world is this happening to me? Well, I ask myself often, well, why not? Why am I thinking I'm better than anybody else not to go through any kind of trials at all? James says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. Just rejoice and say, Lord, I'm not happy about the trial, but I'm going to praise you in the middle of this trial. I'm going to lift you up because I know that you realize that this trial that I'm about to go through, you know that I can handle it. And you know that I'm going to be able to come through the other side stronger. And so, Lord, I'm just going to guard my attitude through this whole trial. And I discovered something interesting. I think so many times we react emotionally to things. And I don't know about you, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but oftentimes my first emotional reaction is not the right reaction. I often get ticked off when things don't go right. I said, what in the world is going on here? Why is this happening in my life? I have learned to say, you know what? That's not the right attitude. God's going to be with me through this thing. And so I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, as you're going through problems, make a big request. Yeah, that's right. Ask for some help. James says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask of God who gives generously to all. And I love that next little phrase, without finding fault. God's not going to say to you, listen, why in the world are you asking me for wisdom? I've given it to you in your word. He's not going to do that. He says, I'm going to give you wisdom without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You're going to be given something that you need. And the reason you're going to ask God for it is because you don't have it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. God loves to give generously. You see, too many times I think we think God is stingy. God is holding out on me. But in reality, if the truth be known, we are the ones who are stingy. Because we are stingy, we wrongly conclude that God is like us. So James says that we're to do it without finding fault. Well, here's the last thing I want you to remember. Rejoice when problems come your way. Request God's wisdom when problems come your way. And number three, relax. Verse number 6 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Now, the rest of this verse James gets into some analogies of a storm out in the ocean. And he talks about a person who's double-minded, dual-minded. And he says they're like that wave in the ocean during a storm, driven toss and fro, up and down all over the place. James says that that man is not going to receive anything from the Lord because he is double-minded. He's unstable in all of his ways. So I hope today that you will learn, as troubles come your way, just to relax, just to trust God in the middle of it. Rejoice in the fact that God has considered you worthy to go through this trial, and ask for some help. Ask for wisdom. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity today to look at the life of James and look at this tremendous book of wisdom that he has written for us. I pray that we will indeed learn to trust in the Lord and trust in you as you guide us through problems in our lives. May we realize there's a big purpose behind the problems that we encounter. May we relax trusting you and giving you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.